ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter 18. So, we'll first read text 29 and then make a transition to the next chapter.
Shri Bali Ruvacha,
Swagatam Te Namastubhyam,
ब्रह्मन् किं करवामते,
ब्रह्मर्षीणां
तपःसाक्षात् मन्ये त्वार्य
वपुर्धरम्।
श्री बलि महाराज देन सेड टू लॉर्ड वामनदेव, ओ ब्राह्मण, आई ऑफर यू माय हार्टी वेलकम एंड माय रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस। प्लीज लेट अस नो व्हाट वी मे डू फॉर यू। We think of you as the personified austerity of the great Brahmana sages. So there is no purport. So therefore we will read the next verses, only the translation. O my Lord, because you have kindly arrived at our home, all my forefathers are satisfied. Our family and entire dynasty have been sanctified, and the sacrifice we are performing is now complete because of your presence. Next verse. O son of Brahmana, today the fire of sacrifice is ablaze according to the injunction of the Shastra, and I have been freed from all sinful reactions of my life by the water that has washed your lotus feet. O my Lord, by the touch of your small lotus feet, the entire surface of the world has been sanctified. Text 32. O son of Brahmana, it appears that you have come here to ask me for something. Therefore, whatever you want, you may take from me. O best of those who are worshipable, you may take from me a cow, gold, a furnished house, palatable food and drink, the daughter of a Brahmana for your wife, prosperous villages, horses, elephants, chariots, or whatever you desire. So thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto of the 18th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Vamandev, the Dwarf Incarnation. We now go to the 19th chapter, text 1. Shukadev Goswami continued, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vamandev heard Bali Maharaj speaking in this pleasing way, he was very satisfied, for Bali Maharaj had spoken in terms of religious principles. Thus the Lord began to praise him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O King, you are indeed exalted because your present advisors are the Brahmanas who are descendants of Bhrigu, and because your instructor for your future life is your grandfather, the peaceful and venerable Prahlad Maharaj. Your statements are very true and they completely agree with religious etiquette. They are in keeping with the behavior of your family and they enhance your reputation. There is purport to this verse, we'll read it. Prahlad Maharaj is a vivid example of a pure devotee. Someone might argue that since Prahlad Maharaj, even though very old, was attached to his family and specifically to his grandson Bali Maharaj, how could he be an ideal example? Therefore, the verse uses the word prashantaha. A devotee is always sober, is never disturbed by any conditions. Even if a devotee remains in grahastha life and does not renounce material possessions, he should still be understood to be prashanta, sober, because of his pure devotion to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore said, Kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra ke nenai, yehi krishna tattva veta seyi guru hai. Whether one is a brahmana, a sannyasi, or a shudra, regardless of what he is, he can become a spiritual master if he knows the science of Krishna. Anyone completely aware of the science of Krishna, regardless of his status in life, is a guru. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj is guru in all circumstances. Here, His Lordship Vamandev also teaches sannyasis and brahmacharis that one should not ask more than necessary. He wanted only 3 paces of land, although Bali Maharaj wanted to give him anything he wanted.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha.
Sorry, Krishna. So Srila Sukadeva Goswami is narrating to Parikshit Maharaj the transcendental pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is appearing as Vamandev, Lord Vamandev. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma cha me divyam, evam yo veti tatvatah, tyaktva deham punarjanma neti mameti su Arjuna. The Lord is saying, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Now, when you read this verse and read also the translation, it seems something which we can do very easily. But then, there is a catch. There is a catch in this verse. And what is the catch? The Lord says, Veti Tattvataha. No, this is, knowing the Lord in Tattvataha, that's not very easy. This, in fact, very difficult. And in the purport to this particular verse, it's a long purport, Srila Prabhupada writes one sentence, which is worth thinking about. He says that simply by accepting this truth, on faith, one can, without doubt, attain liberation. Now, getting this faith, faith on the authority of the Supreme Lord Krishna, faith on the Vedic scriptures, is more easily said than done. Especially for a person like me, whose bread and butter is science, developing this implicit faith in the word of God, in the scriptures, is very, very difficult. So I need the mercy of the Vaishnavas, mercy of spiritual master Srila Prabhupada, to develop this kind of faith. So here we are in these pages, verses which are already discussed, the appearance of Srila Vamanadeva is being discussed. The Supreme Lord can appear in any form from anywhere. So he is himself, Krishna is himself Bhagwan, Avatari, not Avatar, but he can also incarnate as Matsya, Kurma, he can appear as Varahadev from nostrils of Brahma, or he can appear from pillar on the assertion of Prahlad Maharaj, or he can appear as Vamandev, about whom we are reading now, or Sri Ramchandra. So there are so many incarnations in which the Lord can appear. But all of them are inconceivable. Whatever pastimes he performs are also inconceivable. So he can appear in any species of life, but he is the same supreme, original, transcendental Lord. So this conviction one has to develop. So since we have concluded the 18th chapter, and since we have entered the 19th chapter, I thought that I will summarize what has happened. This is for my purification. So, Aditi, the wife of Kashyap Muni and mother of all the demigods headed by Indradev, is in great distress. Why? Because all her sons have been displaced. Their glory, their kingdom, everything that they possess has been lost to Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj has just walked in. It's a walkover given to Bali Maharaj by the demigods. And this is because of the support that Bali Maharaj got from Shukracharya and the descendants, you know, of Bhrigu Muni. So, because of her distress, Aditi approaches her husband, Kashyap Muni, to know how her sons, the demigods, can regain their lost glory. how they can regain it. And this is her ardent desire. A mother is always in distress when her children are not happy. So her happiness is dependent on the happiness of the children. This is a fact to be realized. And here, Aditi is unhappy. She approaches Kashyap Muni and she literally pleads with him. Say, do something. Do something to rehabilitate our children. And then Kashyap Muni is on the highest transcendental platform, as we read from the previous verses. What advice does he give to Aditi? He says that he instructs her in the philosophy of self-realization. Instructs her on the philosophy of self-realization and tells her how not to be affected by material distress. Now, a person who is grieving for her sons, do you think that she took this advice very seriously? No. Her heart was, she was miserable. She wanted something divine, but also something practical. She wanted such an advice. And therefore, she again approaches, and Kashyap Muni this time gives her both a spiritual as well as practical process. How she can help her sons regain their lost kingdom and lost glory. And Aditi, and he recommends to her the Payovrata process, which can be done in 12 days, accomplished in 12 days. And that way, she can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is convinced, and he convinces Aditi, that her son's problems can only be solved by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and by no one else. So, and therefore, the Lord has to advent. And this particular process is recommended. And being very obedient, Aditi performs this Payavrata with great sincerity and devotion in her heart. And she is successful in pleasing the Supreme Lord. And the Lord is also pleased because of the austerities of Kashyap Muni. Both combined together result in the Supreme Lord manifesting himself before them. And then they offer prayers, and then the Lord promises them that I will come as your son. And that is how the Lord incarnates as Vamandev. Now it is described in the previous verses that Kashyap Muni, due to his transcendental stage of being a very advanced devotee, and also because of the mercy of the Supreme Lord himself, in his meditational trance, Kashyap Muni perceives within himself a plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He comes to know. And in his deep absorption in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kashyap Muni transfers his potency to the womb of Aditi. Now this is what is Janma Divyam. It's a Divya Janma, womb of Aditi. Now when this happens, Lord Brahma immediately realizes that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is now in the womb of Aditi, and he comes and offers his beautiful prayers in glorification of the Lord. And then on the auspicious day of Vaman Dwadashi, the Supreme Lord first appears in his supremely beautiful and dazzling form with ornaments, weapons. And then what does he do? Babhuva tenaiva saha vamano batuhu. And suddenly transforms himself into Vamanadev, the Brahmana dwarf. That is the transcendental form which he manifests. And this he does right in presence of Kashyap Muni and Aditi. And he appears in that form to subdue Bali Maharaj, who has taken away everything from demigods, and also to elevate Bali Maharaj from the platform in which he is situated now to the highest platform of bhakti, Atmanivedanam. So this will come in subsequent verses and subsequent chapters. So on his appearance, everybody is happy. Vamandev is so beautiful. so extraordinarily beautiful that his appearance makes everyone happy. He's not a small baby to be cuddled. He's, you know, Vamana, Batu. He's Batu. So they perform, the sages perform all kinds of rites, samskaras on him, including Jatakarma Vidhi. And then they also perform a thread ceremony. And on this occasion, Vamandev receives gifts from so many. It is described in many verses. From his parents, demigods, Mother Earth, Lord Brahma, practically everyone. He gets gifts from them. And then Lord Vamandev proceeds to the sacrificial arena where Bali Maharaj is performing the Ashwamedh sacrifice. So what is the impact of the Lord appearing in the sacrificial arena? That is described in one beautiful verse.
Te rutvijaha yajaman sadasya hatatvisha vamana tejasa nrupa suryaha kila ayati utava vibhavasu sanat kumaratha didrukshaya kratoho.
It is described that such was the effulgence of Vamandev that when he entered into the sacrificial arena, everybody, including Bali Maharaj, is referred to here as Yajaman. There are so many effulgent Brahmanas and sages, and Bali Maharaj himself was effulgent personality. But as soon as Vamandev appeared, they lost all their splendor. This is to say that Vamandev's effulgence was infinitely more than the effulgence of any one of those people who were present there. And what are the effect on the people? They were bewildered. Any of them were bewildered. And they could not actually recognize the Supreme Lord. As I think Yugavatar Prabhu was discussing yesterday, they could not recognize him. Though they felt joy in their heart when they saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then they were speculating, is it the sun god who has come because so effulgent? Or is it the fire god? Or is it the Sanat Kumaras? So maybe they have come to see this particular, you know, sacrifice which is being performed. Didrukshaya kratoho. Krato means sacrifice. So they have come here, maybe possibly to see it. And what did Bali Maharaj feel? He became jubilant, and he was simply enchanted by the presence of Lord Vamandev in that very, very auspicious sacrificial assembly.
So again, making a reference to what Yugavatar Prabhu was saying yesterday, that a spirit soul, very consciously or unconsciously, when he sees the Supreme Lord, he immediately, you know, relates to him and becomes joyous. So Bali Maharaj became very, very happy in the presence of the Supreme Lord. Then the text which we read, 29 to 32, these impressed me very much because these verses actually reflect the highest spiritual and Vedic culture that prevailed in the ancient times. And in this culture, the Brahmanas got maximum prominence. They were given maximum prominence. So it is said here that I offer you my hearty welcome and respectful obeisances. This is how the Brahmanas were, you know, treated. Please let us know what we may do for you. We think of you as the personified austerity of great Brahmana sages. So this Brahmana, actually an unknown entity to everyone present there, is welcomed with great respect by everyone. So respect for Brahmanas, Brahmanical knowledge, and especially Brahmanical power was ingrained in the kings of those times and also in the general public. So there is a beautiful verse which I wanted to read, which describes the principles which hold Mother Earth together. It says, Go bihi vipraischa sati bihi satyavadi bihi alubdhaihi danashilaischa saptabhi dharyate mahi
So these are seven principles which were respected by all the kings and general people also. The first one is respect for cows, a cause very dear to our Param Guru Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So I won't go into details. In all his writings, everywhere, in all his purports, Srila Prabhupada glorifies the role of mother cow, how she sustains the society by giving so many products, like milk, yogurt, ghee, then gobar and gomutra. These are all products now being marketed here. Now we know. So the human race is sustained and nourished by the cows, a cause very, very dear to Srila Prabhupada. Then respect for Brahmanas. This is something which was overpowering. Brahma janati iti brahmanaha. A brahmana is one who is the knower of Brahman. And Brahmanas in those days guided all the Kshatriya kings. Kshatriya kings did not, you know, rule their kingdoms according to their whims and fancies. You know, they ruled, they were guided by everyone. And there was tremendous respect for the power of the Brahmanas. We see this in the episode of Ahalya being cursed by Gautam Muni. Gautam Muni cursed his wife Ahalya for what he believed to be her unchaste behavior, and he cursed her to be a stone. And then Ahalya pleads with her husband, says, "Please, isn't there some way this can be remedied?" And then Gautam Muni says to her that when Lord Prabhu Ramchandra will appear in Treta Yuga, then by touch of his lotus feet, you will come back in your form. Ahalya says, "Treta Yuga," because in those days, the cyclicity of yugas was such that it was first the Satya Yuga, and then Dwapara, and then Treta. So long, I'll have to wait. Then Gautam Muni, her husband, says, No. I will change the order. So Treta Yuga comes after Satya Yuga, and then Dwapara Yuga comes. So this is the power of Brahmanas in those days. They could do that. Seems very distant thing in today's society where we are living. So Brahmanas were always respected, and we find that the Supreme Lord Krishna and Rukmini, how they welcome Sudam Vipra. Just as Bali Maharaj performs here, worships Vamandev, you know, with Pad Puja. Similarly, when Sudama Vipra came to the royal palace of Krishna and Rukmini, they worshipped his lotus feet. They did Pada Puja, and then in that water they sprinkled on themselves and everybody around. So the Supreme Lord also respects Brahmanas. He is the lover of cows and Brahmanas. Go Brahmana Hitayacha. That is Krishna. So here also we find Bali Maharaj respecting Vamandev, because he doesn't know as yet his supremacy, but he knows him as a Brahmana. Then the Vedas or the Vedic scriptures, these are words of God, and the Supreme Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, "Vedeshcha sarve ahameva vedyo." So the Lord is to be known by Vedas. The explicit purpose of the Vedas is to know Krishna. That is the purpose. And why did the Lord create Vedas? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Sanatan Goswami, "Maya mukta jiver nahi swata Krishna jnan, jivere krupaya kaila Krishna Veda Puran." So the conditioned soul cannot revive Krishna consciousness by his own effort. But out of causeless mercy, Lord Krishna compiled the Vedic literature and its supplements, the Puranas. So the Vedas and the scriptures are the Lord's mercy. Vedavyas incarnates, Lord incarnates as Vedavyas, literary incarnation, so that this mercy is available to us. So all the scriptures are Lord's mercy, and it's his causeless mercy, in fact, why we have received this knowledge in the form of Vedas. Then sati, chastity of women, this is also one of the foundations, you know, strong foundations of Mother Earth. So the sacrifice of chaste women, their brilliance, gives exceptional strength to Mother Earth. It is said that it is sattvic bala to the human society. A human society bereft of chaste women loses its vigor, loses its strength totally. And therefore, this is one of the most important principles which was very dear to the Vedic society of yore. And we find a beautiful example in Gandhari. Her sacrifice, we won't go into the details. Srila Prabhupada, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, writes very, very emphatically that Gandhari is almost on the same platform as Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev is such a great towering personality, but he says, Prabhupada says, that Gandhari is no less. So this is the power of chastity. There are so many stories which one can recount, but we won't have time for that. And then Satyavadi, Satya, truth. So the Lord appreciates truth. And actually there is a, I think, Vedic verse, Satyenotta Bhitta Bhumihi. Truth upholds the earth. I believe it is from Rigveda, I'm not very sure. So this particular verse says that. So, and truth, of course, we have our national saying also, Satyameva Jayate. We may laugh at this because there seems to be no truth in the society in which you are living today. Where is truth? Conspicuous by its absence. It's not there at all. But Satyameva Jayate. So this was the Vedic tradition. And then Nirlobhitva, freedom from greed. Now, it is said that greed is the father of sin. And a greedy person can never ever be peaceful or happy. Only a contented person can be happy. And I think Krishna says, Asuntashtohi Daridraha. There may be a multi billionaire, but if he is not contented, he is as good as a Daridra. And a Daridra is a multi billionaire if he is contented. We have the most beautiful example of Kulavecha Sridhar. We won't go into the details. He had nothing. He was completely poverty stricken. But on the highest platform of spiritual realization, therefore he was so dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was in one sense Daridra, but he had the treasure of Krishna consciousness, and such was his treasure that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that I want to steal this from you one day. So this is the glory of Kulavecha Sridhar. So freedom from greed is a very big asset to a society. Why? Because when a person is greedy, he fosters all kinds of things. Robberies, dishonesty, black marketing, corruption. Do we see all this in our society? Rampant. All these things are there because people have become greedy. Even the Brahmanas, inverted commas, also have become greedy. So, because of that, we find that the society, you know, is degenerating fast. And then, Danashilata. So, this is one of the virtues which uphold Mother Earth. And we are talking about Danashilata here. So, there is a Subhashita. I don't know whether it is from which source. From where I read, it was mentioned it is from Skanda Puran, but I am not very sure about it. Shateshu jayate shura sahasreshu cha pandita vakta shata sahasreshu data jayeta vanava. Very beautiful. Shateshu jayate shura. So perhaps one person in 100 can be a brave heart, you know, very brave. And one in 1,000 might become a pandita, very scholarly. And then one in 1,000,000 may become an orator who can impress, hold the audience is spellbound. But if it comes to charity, one is really doubtful. You don't know who is charitable and who is not. So this is the position of charity. So these seven virtues uphold Mother Earth. And these are the principles which are very dear to everyone in Krishna consciousness also. Our regulative principles also talk of chastity. And so many other things. So we are reading in these verses how Bali Maharaj became so very ecstatic in presence of Vaman Dev. And he is so ecstatic that he is willing to offer anything and everything to Vaman Dev. He is saying that he is assuming here, so far Vaman Dev had not revealed his plans. He says, O son of Brahmana, it appears that you have come here to ask me for something. Therefore, whatever you want, you may take from me. O best of those who are worshipable, you may take from me a cow, gold, furnished house. In fact, the long list. So he's saying that you can ask anything under the sky. Whatever you want, you know, I'll give. And Bali Maharaj is in a position to exhibit this Dana Shilata. He is, after all, the king of the heavenly kingdom now. So he was a king of heavenly kingdom, and what could he have not given to? Whatever was asked for, he could have given. And he was eager to give. It is one thing, you know, to have something, but one may not part with it. That is a krupana, miserly person. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, don't be miserly. If you have received the rare, matchless gift of Krishna consciousness, give it in charity to others. Spread Krishna consciousness. Chant Hare Krishna and give it to others. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita that this propensity to give in charity is a quality which He has created in human beings. He says, Ahimsa Samata Tushti Tapas Danam Yashau Yashaha Bhavanti Bhava Bhutanam Mattaha Eva Pruthak Vida. Says, non-violence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame and infamy, all these various qualities of living beings are created by me alone. Krishna is Sarvakarana Karanam. So he is also the cause for our instinct to give something in charity. So charity, in fact, is an integral part of any sacrifice. Any sacrifice that one performs is an integral part. And certainly, Ashwamedha Yajna, one of the biggest yajna that one can perform, charity is an integral part. So, Srila Prabhupada, in his purport to this particular verse from Bhagavad Gita, makes very beautiful comments, which I would like to share. He says that one should give in charity 50% of his earnings to some good cause. And what is a good cause? Prabhupada replies, it is that which is conducted in terms of Krishna consciousness. According to Vedic literature, it is enjoined that charity should be given to the Brahmanas. Why? Because they are engaged in higher cultivation of spiritual knowledge, because they are engaged in Krishna consciousness. So that is the reason why Brahmanas are respected. The respect for Brahmanas is not just out of the Brahminical power, which they certainly had. We find in the Srimad Bhagavatam many references to where Indradev is so much afraid of offending Brahmanas. Time and again we read that Brahmana, you know, Indra was upset, he was afraid, especially when he became responsible for slaying of Vishwarup, who actually helped the demigods when Braspati relinquished his post, or rather disappeared from their vision. It was Vishwarup who guided them, and Vishwarup was also slain by Indra. So he was terribly afraid. Offending a Brahmana is the greatest sin, and therefore it's not just Brahminical power, but their being in Krishna consciousness, Brahma Janati, because they were in Krishna consciousness, that is the reason why the Brahmanas were respected. So how is how is charity to be performed? So one can give in charity one's wealth, education, knowledge, skills, and many other things. We can give many things to people. Of course, giving transcendental knowledge is the highest platform of charity. And Bhagavad Gita says, it is talking about charity in mode of sattva. Dātavyam iti yad dānam dīyate anupakārine deshe kāle ca pātre ca taddānam sātvikam smṛtam. So charity given out of duty without expectation of return at the proper time and place and to a worthy person is considered to be in the mode of goodness. So we are all living entities governed by so many modes, and there are different types of living entities. Some may perform charity in mode of tamas, ignorance. Somebody may do it in a rajasic way. But Bhagavad Gita tells us that for living entity, charity in the mode of goodness is sattvikam smrutam. That is the best form of charity. Now, what is in this, the present context, what is the relevance? In the present situation, which we are now discussing, Vamandev is the Supreme Lord. He is the potential receiver of charity. Bali Maharaj says here, O son of Brahmana, it appears that you have come here to ask me for something. So he has gone there to ask for something. So he is, there could be no one worthier, if at all one has to talk about worthiness, then it is the Lord himself. And his guna atit, so there is no question of, you know, sattvika smrutam. He is beyond the modes. So he is actually doing a favor to Bali Maharaj by accepting charity from him. It's greatness. So when the Lord himself or his representative, the saintly persons, they receive actually something in charity from us, sinful living entities, we are not doing a favor. They are doing us a favor by accepting it, by being, you know, merciful enough to accept. So here, the Supreme Lord is accepting, and Bali Maharaj is going to become a Mahajan after the Lord finishes with him. This is what we'll read in subsequent chapters. So the place and time, they are most auspicious, most perfect. And Ashwamedha sacrifice is being performed, and at that time, this charity is being given. So this is very, very perfect. And it is being done under the supervision of the great, you know, descendants of great Bhugumuni. So everything is perfect. So in the 19th chapter, the first verse and the second verse, we'll briefly deal with them. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamandev, heard Bali Maharaj speaking in this pleasing way, and he was very satisfied, for Bali Maharaj had spoken in terms of religious principles. So the words here are very significant. Sunrutam, kulochitam, dharmayutam, yashaskaram. So the Lord is saying that the words spoken by Bali Maharaj in welcoming him, he is doing it according to the culture in which he has been raised, but he is appreciating this. And he is saying that whatever you have said, this is according to the highest standards of religious etiquette. So from this it is clear that even in giving charity and receiving charity, there is etiquette. The Lord is instructing us here. So Bali Maharaj is following the highest etiquette. He is saying it is kula uchitam. It is sunrutam. Srila Prabhupada translates sunrutam as very true. Then kula uchitam, it says exactly befitting your religion, and yashakaram, fit for spreading your reputation. So Bali Maharaj here is actually chip of the old block. No, he is really behaving as his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj would have behaved. And this is brought out beautifully in the purport of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is focusing on this. He's saying that one may think that Prahlad Maharaj is an old personality, and whether he is a good example, and then he quotes this, kibha vipra kibha nyasi. He says that one who is the knower of science of Krishna consciousness, he is actually the true authority. He is actually Guru. So, in this way, the Lord is appreciating the connection of Bali Maharaj with his dynasty. Now, this is something very, very beautiful. The highest spiritual and cultural values, they are handed down. It is also evam parampara praptam, just like spiritual knowledge is. It's not that in a day you imbibe spiritual values or you imbibe spiritual culture. It comes down. So similarly here, the Lord is appreciating. He's saying that because your present advisors are Brahmanas who are descendants of Bhrigu, and because your instructor for your future life is your grandfather. Prahlad Maharaj is a pure devotee of the Lord. He is the one who has given us Navavidha Bhakti. So he is what? He is peaceful and venerable. He is Prashantaha. So this is a very wonderful quality, Prashanta. Prashanta means very peaceful and very, very sober. And Bali Maharaj, you are being guided by a sober person. So a sober person's activities are always peaceful. He is not agitated in any situation. The situation may be conducive or it may not be conducive. It may be a happy situation or an unhappy situation. But whatever the situation, dhiras tatrana muhyati. So a dhira, a sober person, is not affected by such a situation. And Vamandev is emphasizing here that because of your being connected to a pure devotee like Prahlad, who is sober and completely Krishna conscious, you are sure to adhere to the highest standards of behavior. So in one way, the Lord is hinting that when the time comes, exhibit the highest standards of etiquette when it comes to giving in charity, which I am going to ask for. This will be described by future speakers in greater detail. So a pure devotee is never disturbed, and this is what the Lord is emphasizing. So it is independent of ashram in which we are. So we find many examples of Prashanta devotees. We may not have so much time. Prashanta devotees. We have the glorious example of Ambarish Maharaj, a pure devotee of the Lord, who are the practitioner of all the forms of bhakti, Navavidha bhakti. And then Durvas Muni is annoyed with him. We won't go into the details. And he creates a monster to devour Ambarish Maharaj. But Ambarish Maharaj is standing there silently with folded hands, and the Lord, Supreme Lord Sudarshan Chakra, takes care of the monster created by Durvas and starts chasing after him. So even in that situation, Ambarish Maharaj is very sober. He is not agitated. And he is being guided by Brahmanas. That's a very important principle. So on the advice of Brahmanas, he breaks his fast by, you know, taking a few drops of Charanamrut. And then, of course, the rest of the story I don't want to narrate. But the point here is that Ambarish Maharaj stayed put. He was, you know, absolutely sober and Prashanta even in this situation. We have the example of Prahlad Maharaj himself. We won't go into details. Then we have the example of Haridas Thakur, beaten in 22 marketplaces. And what is his consciousness? He is so prashanta, he is so sober that he begs forgiveness for his tormentors. He is begging of the Lord, please forgive these people. Same spirit as Jesus Christ, who said that forgive them for they know not what they are doing. So this is these are the examples of prashanta. And here, the Lord Vamandev is speaking about the exalted position of his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj. And our own Param Guru, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he was such a sober person in all circumstances. He had such a torturous journey to US on board the Jaladuta. So many problems, nausea, heart attacks, so many things. But nothing. He reaches United States with nothing in his hands. But in all situations, some situations which were very conducive when his disciples made everything favorable for his spreading Krishna consciousness, or some situations which are not favorable also. But in any situation, he always remained sober. As His Grace, I think, Srinath Ji Prabhu was mentioning in the Sunday Feast program, that Prabhupada went to the United States in great poverty. Some 44 rupees or something he was mentioning, or 43 rupees. And then, at the end of 12 years, he had $660 million. That was the worth of the... He was referring to it in connection with some court case where all facts and figures, all the accounts had to be produced. So whether Prabhupada had nothing in his possession, save and except, three volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, few grains, and the dress he wore in an old trunk which he carried, or he had $660 million worth of assets, he always remained sober. Prashanta, dhira, and also sometimes gambhira. So when he was sitting in the coziest of cozy places, in the most luxurious houses in United States, in one of the temples, he would think of his little room in Radha Damodar. So in all situations, he remained prashanta. So the same training, the same type of discipline is also followed by his wonderful disciples. And I have personal experience of seeing it, that whatever the situation, a Krishna conscious, a pure devotee of the Lord always remains in a very sober condition. And that is a necessary quality for one to remain always peaceful and be happy. So I thank you for your patience. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Comments, Prabhuji? What is that?
I just wrote down.
Yeah.
Respect for cows.
Yeah.
Respect for brahmanas.
Yeah.
And the Vedas. And chastity of woman, truthfulness, yeah, and freedom from greed. What was the seventh one?
Dana shilata. Dana.
That is the charity.
Yeah, that is what the subject matter of this is. Yeah. That is the charity.
I am like that person who heard the whole Ramayana but doesn't know the relation between.
No, no, no.
Thank you.
In fact, yesterday I was hearing Yugatar Prabhu in his class, and he was giving the example. I heard it on the internet. He gave the example of that man who wanted to catch, a flight. He was at the airport. He was mentioning yesterday. He was at the airport, and then, he swerved. He went to a weighing machine, and, he weighed himself. And then the card said, "You are so-and-so. Your weight is, 64 kilos. And you are on flight going to London." You're thrilled. Oh, my. How come this weighing machine is giving this information? Then he goes back to, the washroom, changes all his dress and comes back, puts on new dress and comes and weighs himself. He gets the same message. He thrilled. He says, "How come this weighing machine is giving this information?" And then he goes back and again changes his dress and comes back. And when he comes back to the weighing machine, he gets the same information, but he says that the London flight has already left. So, like that, we are in Krishna consciousness. We are enveloped by so many material things. I'm speaking for myself. And we don't know. It's so easy to stray from... So easy not to be sober. Being sober is a challenge. And not to be sober is... comes easy. We don't require training not to be sober. But we definitely require training to be sober. And happily for us, in ISKCON movement, our spiritual master and his Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada has given us facilities for becoming trained how to become sober. Hare Krishna. Any other question or comment? Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki.